You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Cleveland! This is for you!
I'm very happy to be joined today by Meredith Minko. She does social over at Bleacher Report, and we're going to talk all about the WNBA today after the WNBA draft. Just dive into that because that feels like it'll hopefully at least be the basketball that we get back sooner. It's also the league that has been, you know, it's sort of a little more unclear on what exactly is going to happen next. But Meredith, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So you, as someone who's followed the NBA for a while, and I got into this last year, so it's a very fun league, especially if you just like basketball. Like, it's really, really good basketball, and it's frankly just a good way to just watch sports in the summer. What for you, if you're saying, okay, this is, if you're, we're going to talk to someone and say, what are some of the ways that if you just want to hop into following the league this year, when it comes back, whenever that exactly is, what do you think are some of the easy ways for people to actually start following along this year?
Yeah. I think especially last year, we kind of saw more of like NBA Twitter getting into WNBA. And I think like some people get a little scared at first because they don't necessarily know the history. So they get scared like hopping in and not knowing what's going on, especially like people who watch the NBA love to know exactly all the history and what's going on in that. But like, I would say, we were talking about this earlier, there's a really good opportunity, easy entry point is like, especially all the hype. There are a ton of good players in the draft this year, but an easy entry point would be the Liberty with Sabrina. Like, a lot of people are fans and followed her college career. Even casual fans, her like popularity is just crazy. So starting with a team like the Liberty, who's super young, and the coaches compared that, like, they're going to kind of go the style of the Rockets, just fast paced and kind of fun to watch play. So I think there are a lot of young teams in the league, especially with all the good talent coming out of the draft this season, which hopefully they get to play, is a really good season just to jump in.
She is such an easy, I think, person for people to grasp, because there's obviously a lot was made, some maybe a little bit too much, mm-hmm. of the connections to Kobe, but her personality is great. She's, you know, did statistical measures at Oregon that like no player ever, men or women, was ever reaching, and she's just like got the encore personality and flair. Like, I mean, every gif you can find of her is just like entertaining because she's trolling, she talks shit, like she's really great. And if they are going to play like the Rockets, and maybe that means like the good version of the Rockets and not like some of the hardened stuff that drives people crazy, that's such an easy team to hop into. That's going to be the team that I jump into. I watched the Aces a lot last year because Cambage is great. Kelsey Plum is just really fascinating to me because she was number one pick and then ends up just slowly just trying to figure some stuff out behind Asia Wilson and Cambage and playing on a team that is just so loaded. But you know, the Liberty also like made a trade where they trade away Tina Charles and she goes to DC, who gets even better. Like, it just feels like you and I were talking about this before we started recording. It feels like just about every team has something that you can just be like, okay, this is a team I can dive into. Like, you know, like Indiana gets Lauren Cox, like the Atlanta Dream get Trinity Carter, who Natalie Weiner at SB Nation wrote a really good piece on and kind of taught me a little more about her. It feels like every team has someone that it's like, all right, like you can dive into this. This is going to be fun. And, you know, we're going to talk later about theoretical expansion, but it just, again, feels like this is a very loaded league right now.
100%. I think last year, we started to see, like you said, with the Aces, more like almost super teams in the WNBA. And I think that's just only going to get, like the talent is a lot more distributed. And especially with like the cap going up, this offseason has been really interesting. Free agency, like a ton of big names, moving teams, but Yeah, every team is super easy to root for. There are only a couple teams in the league that aren't really don't have that balance of stars, superstars. But especially with the offseason, there are a ton of new storylines. Like Skylar Diggins is going to play with Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner. The Aces are obviously, we talked about, like a powerhouse, and they added Angel McCautry, who was the star before in Atlanta, and like Courtney Williams moving. There's just a lot of teams that are easy to root for. I was talking to you earlier, like I'm a fan of almost every team in the league. So it's super easy to just root for every team, which I think makes it a lot more interesting and fun to watch.
When you look at the league right now, we're post the draft. We sort of, you know, maybe a team like the Liberty, who are going to be really exciting and must watch because of Sabrina, are going to take a little more time to develop. But when you look at the league as a whole and some of the other moves you mentioned, we've talked about already and that have kind of been out there. I mean, how many teams do you think are, okay, this team is a legit title contender whenever the season does come back?
Yeah, I think there are a ton, almost more so than are in the NBA now. Like reigning champions, Mystics, they traded, or Christy Tolliver left, which was big, but they got Tina Charles. So I think they kind of moved into the favorites to repeat. And then Aces, I kind of wish they went a little further in the playoffs last year. So Aces, and then Phoenix, like I said, with Skylar Diggins, is going to be super interesting. And then there are also like a ton of teams that are on the bubble. Like I really like what the Sky are doing. They're kind of in between like young talent and almost contenders now. And then my Lynx are in a little bit of a down year. Hopefully Maya comes back. Once she comes back, like I think we're title contenders. We have like reigning rookie of the year. Nafisa Collier is amazing. And there's just Courtney Williams on the Dream now. The Sun, I think, took a little bit of a step back. But, yeah, there are so many teams in the league that are legit title contenders. Seattle and, yeah, it's crazy. Now that I'm thinking about it, every team is, like, a legitimate threat. And the first round of the playoffs is one and done, like, kind of crazy. I kind of wish they would change that, but it's crazy to see, like, so many title contenders that can easily have an off game and go down, and it's kind of super unpredictable. So it's super exciting.
Yeah, best of three or something at the very least would be like, I think it would be like a fun change, because I almost wish with the NBA, like I almost wish you had a little more in the first round of like that panic of things could go wrong like really quickly 100%. For the favorites.
Yeah,
I find that really fun with the WNBA. But so I wish you could like maybe both of them go to best of five for the first round or something like that. You know, it's one of the storylines I feel like is going to be that maybe gets a little, I could be wrong about this, has gotten a little lost amid like a really busy free agency period, the draft, what's going on with the coronavirus and the season, kind of unsure what's going to happen, is Brianna Stewart's going to be coming back from an Achilles injury. And yeah, she's maybe the best player in the world, is maybe, and I know it'd been playing overseas before this had happened. And there's some clips I saw where she looked kind of like the Brianna Stewart we'd expect, but it's like, if you have her in Seattle with Sue Bird, you have Phoenix, you have every other team we've kind of talked about, and you know, maybe Maya Moore comes back at some point and adds another elite player right into that. So, like, it again, this is just feels like this could be like a crazy title race. And it, not only mentioned, just like we're already getting players talking shit to each other on Twitter with Liz Cambage and going at the Mystics. It's wonderful.
I love that. I think that's kind of what the WNBA was missing a little bit over the past couple of years. Like, what I love almost most about the NBA is how much drama there is, and we all love like petty. And with Liz, like, she really brings that and kind of trickling over into the off season. I think part of what helped me get into and root for players is like personality. And I definitely think like modern WNBA, it's a little easier to find out these players' personalities and what they're about. And there's so many interesting personalities in the league, and to see that them kind of embracing like all the shit talking and teams going back and forth, I think it's awesome.
Who's the best data besides Cambage? Because I think she's sort of clearly like the most known talker in the league for a variety of reasons. But is there someone else that's like got under like an underrated shit talking game or a personality? Because obviously Taurasi's competitiveness is like legendary at this point. Is there anyone else that people should maybe think, hey, this is someone like to latch onto from a personality standpoint?
Yeah, I was going to say Diana Taurasi just because everyone knows like her personality. She's insanely fire in the court, but hearing like stories, she and Sue Bird are good friends. And I listened to Sue Bird on a podcast and she kind of gives an inside look at that. Like there was one story she told about Diana Taurasi talking to shit to Floyd Mayweather when he was on the sideline, yes. Which I think is amazing. Yeah, Liz is definitely up front on that. But her like beef with the Mystics, there were some players, Natasha Cloud, going back and forth, like they're not afraid of each other. And then Liz also had a thing during the season with Kalani Brown going at her hair and stuff, which was just like extreme pettiness. And then Liz with some players on the Sky, like she really just goes at it with everyone. And I think it's hilarious. I'm trying to think of other underrated. Diana Taurasi is definitely not underrated with her shit talking, but
from a fun perspective, I think I always find like Asia Wilson's like Instagram presence and just how she interacts with people on social to be very fun. Yeah. Like, she's clearly just having a ton of fun with being one of the best like five players in the league. Like that's always very fun.
Her personality is awesome. She's definitely like one of the players that the league has made sure that her name is kind of getting more recognized. Like they always put her in the All-Star celebrity game. She's super fun to watch. They mic her up and it's hilarious.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to talk about teams you should maybe follow and teams how to kind of pick a team to follow this upcoming season. We'll be right back with more with Meredith here on Locked On Cavs. All right, we're back. Meredith, you are a Lynx fan, so I'm going to give you the floor here. Make a case for people to join you and to become a Minnesota Lynx fan when the season comes back.
Hell yeah, this is like my favorite thing. Well, first of all, we're a dynasty. Like someone I admire a lot, LaChyna Robinson. During the MJ doc on Sunday, she was kind of talking about how she can't wait for, they need to do like a Lynx one. So we're like a super underrated four championships, like just the run that our team had. And like I said, we're a little bit rebuilding, but we have a ton of young talent. And then if Maya comes back next year, which I'm pretty sure she will, she said she wasn't done yet. It would be crazy for her like to retire now, but
yeah, I want a doc on her, just like what she's doing and like that. Cause it really is unprecedented for someone as good as her to like step away and do something she's doing very, very important criminal justice work, but it's I can't think of anything like that, someone stepping away for that reason at like the peak of their powers. I just can't think of another example.
Yeah, definitely like uncharted territory, and you can't like hate on that at all, because yeah, who like frees a man from jail taking a break from a sport that she's like arguably top five player of all time. She's my favorite player, just watching her play. I've definitely been like, last year when she took off, I watched Maya Moore highlights on YouTube, and she's definitely missed in the WNBA, but just all the work she's doing outside is amazing.
So I think the other, we've talked about the Liberty, they're an obvious team. That's going to be my bandwagon team. I just want to be like the jersey thing with Sabrina in itself is amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
If people don't know, like her jersey is basically like sold out to like, I think September, people are saying like they won't get it, which is season will be like over by then. So I mean, and obviously supply lines are messed up right now, but so maybe that'll change. I think the Aces are another obvious one. I feel like Phoenix is another very easy one to just hop on that bandwagon, because you get Taurasi, you get Griner, and you get Skylar Diggins-Smith. And that's just like a crazy good big three. And it feels like that's very easily a team that, because of just the wattage star power there, like it should be very competitive. And if you want to hop on like a winning team right away, like that feels like a very obvious option. Unless there's obviously other ones, like you go the Mystics, you could go the Lynx, you could go Las Vegas, you go Seattle. But I feel like Phoenix is just another one. If you want to just root for Taurasi and root for that, for like arguably the GOAT, like just go there. And I don't think anyone could blame you for that.
100%. I think working in sports, I've kind of identified like they're a group of maybe 10 players that a casual NBA fan or not even an NBA fan can recognize. And Taurasi is one, Brittany Griner is one, and Skylar Diggins is really high on the list. So like that combo. And like you said, if you want to hop in with a team that's probably automatically going to be a playoff team, although I'm always kind of wary also in the NBA of like, I think when superstars come together, people automatically think like, oh, championship. But I think there's also like chemistry to me is like one of the biggest things. So I'm curious to see how they work together. But in terms of like name recognition and star power, yeah, if you're looking for a team to hop on that's definitely guaranteed wins, that's the one. And like you said, Liberty, if you're trying to get in on the ground floor, like Sabrina, yeah, covering the draft, it's crazy. The numbers we got on social just from posting about her, I've never seen 4 years that I've been working and trying to push women's sports and especially the WNBA, I've never seen numbers like we got for all the Sabrina content we put out.
Even just like the ESPN, like her being on something like ESPN Daily, and like I didn't watch the First Take thing because I just don't know if I want to do that to myself. But like she was on First Take. Like it's cool that she's getting, and I think very well deserved that she's getting that kind of push and that kind of platform. I guess the other thing to note with Phoenix is Tawana Bonner got traded in the offseason.
Yeah,
is playing for Connecticut Sun now, and they're obviously very competitive last year, but there was reasons behind that trade, but that's a big loss for a team. That was a team she'd been with her whole career, and somewhere else, even if you bring in someone like Diggins Smith and you're betting on that big three, that it feels like losing Tawana Bonner will be felt. And like, that's a chemistry point. That's exactly to your point. It's like, that's someone that they'd played with together for a long time. Even if they know Diggins Smith from national team stuff like that, there's gotta be some kind of transition there.
100%. She's super underrated for like a casual basketball fan. Like, she is an automatic bucket and she does not look like one at all. She's so skinny, but she's powerful. And yeah, she's been with the team for so long, so that's definitely going to be interesting to see how much they miss her and how much like Skylar can't really hop in and fill those shoes. So it's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, that's just a very different setup. Is there any other team you want to touch on here before as we kind of wrap up segment number two? Is there any other team that you're like, okay, I just want to make sure I get some words in on them before we start pitching cities for future Airbnb homes?
Yeah, I kind of mentioned them before, but the Sky was kind of the first team that I was introduced to because I'm from Chicago and I have a family friend who's actually owns the team, but they're insanely fun to watch. They have a mix, like a perfect mix of young talent. Like Diamond DeShields is arguably the most athletic player in the WNBA. Her game is like super fun to watch. She's a little, to me, unpolished. I think she's like one more year away, or maybe even this season, of like kind of being comfortable in her game, but she's one of the most interesting players to watch. And then they have the backcourt, which is probably the best backcourt in the WNBA, Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley, who just recently beat Chris Paul in that horse tournament. But
yep.
They just have so much talent on that team. And that Aces Sky series last season, where De'Erica Hamby hit that ridiculous, like very unnecessary half court shot, but they were really close to moving on. And I think they're definitely a team that's in the middle, like I said, of like young talent and like really becoming a powerful threat to the league. So I think that's a team that kind of gets overlooked that I'm really high on.
They're very, very fun. And I like the color scheme for them. It's just, I love the light blue, love the look. I can't wait for this to come back. It's going to be, I think, very, very fun. They got a teammate of Sabrina Ionescu's in the draft. This guy did in Ruthie Hibbard. So like, yeah. Again, they get another high pick.
I love Ruthie. She's
yeah. Awesome. Watching some rods, like, oh, like this is an ad. I know some people had floated like that maybe that she would be there at the nine and they could pair them together again, but obviously didn't happen. Yeah, but we'll see how that goes. All right, one last break. We're going to come back and we're going to pitch cities that we think the WNBA should expand to in the future right after this. Mm-hmm. Ira back here with Meredith Minko from Bleacher Report talking about the WNBA. So I think in seeing people that cover the league much more closely and follow it much more closely than me tweet about this, there's a lot of players right now that because of the roster sizes and whatnot are going to be out of jobs, unfortunately. And that's just frankly an unfair structural reality for women's sports right now, because that just, you know, something like that doesn't happen as frequently in the NBA or other male sports. But so I think there is, and I think there could, and seeing with the rise in viewership last year, attendance, there's all these metrics where the WNBA is clearly leveling up. I think that's, it seems like that's where we're headed. So what we're going to do is pitch cities for the WNBA to expand to. I think, let's say four, let's talk about like four or so cities. I'll let you go first. Give me a city that you think would make a lot of sense for a WNBA team.
Yeah, well, I've been lobbying for a long time. I live in the Bay Area. And I personally think, no bias, but I think that should be the first city for expansion. The owner of the Warriors is super high on the WNBA, and he's mentioned before that he wants a team. And the fan base here is crazy. And I think like they just moved from Oracle to Chase Center, obviously, Oakland to SF. And I think it'd be really cool to see the WNBA play at Oracle. And just because a lot of fans miss the Oakland presence. And I definitely think that the arena would be packed. I know like the rent is super expensive here and the players need to get paid more to afford it. But, and Sabrina is from Walnut Creek, I think. And there are a ton of WNBA players from the Bay. So I would pitch first city where I live. Plus I just like to be able to shoot games locally so that I don't have to travel over the summer to shoot, but completely selfish reasons. But I think a lot of WNBA players have also started lobbying for a team in the Bay. So that's mine.
I think that's a lock. I think that's like the most obvious one you could do. Sabrina even has mentioned it in interviews where she's like, yeah, I even without saying like, I want to play there is like, I can't wait to play games in my home area. Because she's just clearly just like, I would like to stay back in my area. That would be really cool. Which is very understandable. I'm going to make a very biased pick. I'm going to say Cleveland. Here's why.
I was like, I know where this is going.
This is obvious. Number one, have a brand new arena that needs stuff to do in the summer. You get concerts and stuff, whatever, but there's no other sport that is taking up those dates in the summer. So you have this brand new arena that's been renovated that has a bunch of modern upgrades in terms of it being really accessible. Number two, you have a downtown area that would, I think, really could use it. Indians attendance goes down a little bit every year. It's very frustrating, but give me more sports in the summer. There's just not as much going on. There's this big vacuum in the summer with Indians and people waiting for the Browns. Anecdotally talking to people in Cavs Twitter, like there's a lot of us that have decided to follow the WNBA and are picking different teams. It's a lot it's a lot of Aces. It's a lot of Storm. It's a lot of Liberty. That's kind of the three we've gravitated towards.
Yeah.
So I think that makes sense. I think number two, there's number three. I've poked around on this. I cannot get answers from them because they don't like answering any questions, but you have an owner that could pay for this very easily. Business wise, I get just the infrastructure is sort of there if they wanted to do it. And, you know, regionally, there's teams nearby. You could have an easy rivalry with Indiana, easy rivalry with New York, and teams on the East Coast that are within very close distance. I think in terms of just like if you want to have it being in terms of I think one of the advantages of teams that already have NBA teams where they can use the same facilities, they can like if the let's say a team to Cleveland comes back and let's call them the Rockers because that was the team in the 90s and in the early aughts. You practice at the Cavs facility, which is a little outside the city. You could use that for practice. You play at the same arena, fill all these dates that need in the summer. I think it just makes a lot of sense to just go to a city like that. Like you can make the argument, I think, for other NBA cities in the same way. But I think just from my perspective in living here and understanding what it sort of looks like, I think it would make a lot of sense.
For sure. I think I'm always an advocate for WNBA teams in NBA cities, just because working for the Timberwolves and Lynx, I've seen Timberwolves Mayo Clinic. Like to me, it's one of the state. I haven't been to a ton of other practice facilities, but it's definitely top notch. And players, I've seen some WNBA players mention on Twitter that like Diamond Shields played for the Sky, and there are a couple WNBA teams in NBA cities that aren't attached to those teams. I think the Dallas Wings aren't attached to the Mavs, but Diamond, who's on the Sky, was saying she couldn't even get into the Bulls practice facility. And practice facilities for WNBA teams that don't have NBA teams, I think they're not as strong. But I also want to say that I put the idea out there of that we need expansion just because, yeah, after the draft, seeing how like a ton of players that went in the second round aren't even going to be able to make a roster, which I think is just sad. A lot of people pointed out to me that like if you expand too early, there's a risk that the league might fold because they can't afford it. But I don't know. I would argue that expanding, yeah, you get more fans and fill seats and stuff. I think, I don't know if I'm just in a bubble on Twitter, but I see like how many more fans have come and hopped on the bandwagon in the last couple of years. But I think there's a case for both sides, but I'm definitely on the side of expansion just because I think if there was a time right now, I just see such a boom in the league for people being interested in wanting a team in their city.
Yeah, I get the doing it too fast. And I wonder if, like, I think it'd be interesting to see if you could ask players, would they rather have upgrades with things like charter flights and having some of the logistical issues kind of improved, yeah, versus expansion? Because I if you look at like the MLS, for example, another growth league, and I think some of the similar problems with are there with the NWSL, like they're still flying a lot of commercial flights. Like, you have teams come in that are just really bad right away, and there's just no chance of winning. And you could argue like that's not, you know, fun for the fans. It's hard to drive interest in a team, even if it's like in the quote unquote top league. If the quality's not good, it's sort of hard to argue that. But it seems like, I think at least with WNBA, you could at least theoretically field good-ish teams right away. Even if those teams aren't like competing for titles right away, you can kind of bring people in that are quality players that just roster issues on other teams. Pitch me another city here.
I would probably go Portland. I know they had a team before, but there's a lot of support there, especially, I mean, we keep talking about Sabrina and them, but that team this year was amazing and so fun to watch, and it seemed like the city really rallied behind them, so I would probably go Portland.
I think Portland's obvious too. I think you get the rivalry with Seattle, which the NBA doesn't have right now. You have, I think, a very tuned in like fan base there. It seems like with the NWSL and the Thorns, I think you have like kind of a market there. I think Toronto's the other one when I think about this.
100%.
Big city. You have I don't know about the dates in the summer versus some of the other stuff. Like, I don't quite have the knowledge on that market in the sense, but I think it just makes a lot of sense. I know there was like some like a fake team or something like that that happened last year where like some guy claimed they were expanding, but it was like not true. But like, I think Toronto would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I definitely fell for that fake team. Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah, it'd be super interesting to see WNBA go to Canada and just see. I'm not sure what the appetite for women's basketball is over there, but it'd be really interesting. And I think that's definitely a lock for, besides the fake team, like I've seen people talk about Toronto a lot for WNBA team.
Yeah, it just seems to make a lot of logical sense. Well, Meredith, to wrap it up, I'm going to ask you one last question here. Give me just one random prediction about the WNBA. Whenever we do get the season, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later once things are safe again, just give me one storyline or prediction you have for the upcoming season that maybe we haven't touched on yet.
Let's see. I think that we kind of touched on it, but I think the pettiness in the WNBA is going to go up a lot this season. Just because I think players are being more encouraged to show their personalities, and the restrictions are getting a little looser. I know we touched on that already, but I definitely think that that's a draw for people wanting to tune in. And there's been a little bit like we talked about with Liz, but I think other players are kind of going to join in, and I think it's going to be super fun.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. Again, follow Meredith on Twitter. She does a bunch of great She does a bunch of photos of basketball hoops and stuff that you should follow along with as well, and does a bunch of really great social over at Bleach Report. You can find her on Twitter at Murminks. That's MURRMINKS. Meredith, thank you so much for coming on and chatting about the WNBA.
Thanks so much for having me. I hope we have a season so we can talk more about it.
Yeah, the moment we get a season, we're gonna get you back on, and we'll talk more about it. And I hope it's sooner rather than later. And I kind of hope we get I hope we see teams that have the ability to do this double up with WNBA and NBA in the same night in the same city.
Yeah, they were talking about having back to backs would be super interesting, uncharted territory, but I think it could work.
Yeah, but get more eyeballs on everything, and that's the way to do it. Well, thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thank you.